Welcome, folks, to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher. Every week, diving deep into the truth of Catholic social teaching and restoring all things in Christ.
The Uncommon Good is on the air. I'm Bo Bonner.
I'm Dr. Bud Maher.
We are joining you from these United States of America, here in the middle of the country, Des Moines, Iowa, where we are here on Iowa Catholic Radio Network. Great to be with all of you on this Wednesday. I'm Bo Bonner over at Mercy College of Health Sciences. I am the Senior Advisor for Mission Initiatives and the Director for the Center for Human Flourishing. Bud, you as well are over at Mercy College, and what do you do?
I am in the Office of Academic Affairs, so the Associate Provost, working with our great program chairs and faculty on all things academic.
It's wonderful to be here with you, like we said, on this Wednesday. Glad that you can listen to us, or if you happen to be listening on podcast, whatever day it may be, thank you for making sure to tune in. Always a great part of our day to speak about these lovely topics, and we're glad that we have followers who listen to us, but we're also, of course, very grateful for Mercy College of Health Sciences, not only for employing us, but also for underwriting our show, mchs.edu. If you want to be a part of the healing ministry, the continuation of the heritage of the Sisters of Mercy, and all that Catherine McCauley and her great bevy of children throughout time in the world have done, we're the place for you. mchs.edu to check out programs, entry points, all that good stuff. Shout out to our buddy Matt Romke, who of course does a great job with his folks, marketing, admissions, and letting people know ways that they can join in the fun.
If you were going to enter a health profession, what do you think you'd land on?
What's ones where they're like, we need you to destroy things? Whatever that is, right? So same thing with like construction.
Crew. Yeah.
If there's something like the demolition crew in medicine, yeah, I could probably do that. Otherwise, I don't know. Maybe if it's like when I was younger, maybe carrying things.
I think it would all be tough for me. It would have to be one where the blood and fluids and things were minimized. So I've kind of ruled out nursing, but maybe a rad tech.
I would have to say, like, rad tech. I mean, I don't have the fine motor skills, patience, or organizational skills that they probably want, but I am always impressed by rad tech and what they're up to, and just the ability to, you know, the sort of mystical, magical poetry of seeing people's bones and innards, yeah. All very cool. And there's a lot of cool stuff to do. Sometimes we don't talk about this enough, is there's just some cool things to do in medicine, and we got it over there at mchs.edu.
You can make jokes about being a rad tech.
Yeah, totally rad.
Rad squared.
Technically, I'm rad. This is getting bad. So that rhymes as well. But yes, mchs.edu, thank you for underwriting the show. Bud, we're rolling the train along, not only talking about sacrificial leadership, as we have been doing in the new year, sacrificial leadership in imitation of Jesus Christ and how that relates to the common good. We've gotten to the second part where we're talking about saints as the emblem and also the people to look to in order for us to get ideas about how to do this in our lives when we're helping people through our leadership, whether that's great or small. Sort of rhyming, last week, we did St. Paul and part one, and St. Paul turned out to have, like many other things in this journey, so much for us to talk about that we're throwing out another segment here. So St. Paul part two, Judgment Day. That's what he's leading us to, right?
Yeah, I'm excited about today's show. St. Paul's one of my favorites. I mean, it's easy to have St. Paul as a favorite, you know, a prominent figure in the history of Christianity. But it was so great last week that we had to save more for today's show.
That's right. It was the cup teeming over. That reminds me, very ridiculous sort of aside, but I always appreciate that, you know, a lot of Protestant churches aren't going to be called Saint whatever. We do get a few saints. We get St. Matthew's churches, St. Luke churches, St. John's, but then maybe a few St. Mark's, but then St. Paul. We get some St. Paul churches with the name Saint in front. You'd hope that they could like appreciate other saints as well, but I'm happy to see St. Paul praised wherever we might see him.
Two of my favorite cathedrals are St. Paul, in Pittsburgh and in Minneapolis. And when I Google them, I'll be looking for St. Paul's in Minneapolis, and accidentally land on St. Paul's and Pittsburgh. I think one is the Cathedral of St. Paul and the other is St. Paul's Cathedral. That might be wrong. Don't quote me.
That's right. But yeah, if you're driving to Minnesota with Bud, make sure that he is not driving to Pittsburgh.
That's right.
This is the Uncommon Good, Bo Bonner, Dr. Bud Marr. Stick around, and we promise we won't lead you astray. We'll be back right after this.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by the Sarah Vocations Ministry, including the St. Sarah Club of Des Moines and the Sarah Club of Council Bluffs. Sarah is an apostolate of the Worldwide Catholic Church dedicated to fostering and supporting priesthood and religious vocations. Sarahs strive to accomplish their mission through prayer, fellowship, and service to the bishop, priests, sisters, and all in religious formation, and in doing so to increase their own holiness. Learn more at joinserra.org, joinserra.org. Thank you, Sarahs, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Construction Professionals. Construction Professionals does remodeling and new construction. Construction Professionals is a Catholic family business built on a strong foundation. CPCustomHomes.com. Thank you, Construction Professionals, for supporting Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where you can chart your course for more.
Mercy College provides unparalleled clinical rotations, hands-on learning, accelerated education, and flexible schedules. Since 1899, Mercy College has been transforming students into healthcare professionals. Guided by Catholic values, our faculty put classroom theory into practice. Students are prepared for roles in service and leadership throughout their own careers.
Learn more at mchs.edu. Mercy College of Health Sciences, mchs.edu.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by InterVisions Healthcare, empowering men and women to make the most informed, life-affirming decisions for themselves and their families. Learn more at ivhcare.org, ivhcare.org. Thank you, InterVisions Healthcare, for supporting Iowa Catholic Radio. Thank you to our business partner, McDonald Imaging Solutions, a family-owned business that offers branding apparel, promotional products, and provides an online customer store for business and organizations. 515-276-2587, McDonaldImagingSolutions.com.
Back with the Uncommon Good, Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr joining you this Wednesday. Thank you for listening to the show. As we were already talking about, it is time for St. Paul Part 2. We so much to talk about when we're bringing up the saints, and I'm sure with all of them, we could be tempted to do many episodes. But St. Paul, very foundational. First, I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but of course, like the apostle outside the of the apostles, as it were, the one untimely born or late born, as he says, but pivotal, and of course, the Gentiles becoming a part of the church and his role as the apostle to the Gentiles. So we talked last week, Bud, in many ways, if you will, sort of the positive features of Paul's leadership, his go-gettedness, his willingness to convert and change, to go out and to all ends of the earth to bring the light of Christ, his theory of imitation. But I think sometimes people might be tempted with all leadership studies, and maybe they're worried that we're falling into the same trap, that people go, yeah, there's this idea as you go point to people that you think are good or that you like, and they have aspects of what it should be like, and then the implication is if you just follow them, leadership's going to be easy for you. But one of the greatest things about St. Paul is we have a record here at the beginning of the church, Bud, of the struggles that it takes for a central figure like Paul, not only with the outside world, like we talked about last time with like the Areopagus and the various pagans he runs into, but within the church and people he himself knows and loves, Paul had a lot of strife to work through. And not only are we going to talk about that first here, about the strife, but that sort of brings him to one of his best theories that we'll finish off here.
Yeah, you know, Paul is, of course, distrusted shortly after his conversion because he had been a persecutor of Christians. And so it takes time for the community to even feel comfortable with him as a leader in the early church. And then, you know, it's clear from some of his letters that folks continued to doubt his apostolicity. You know, there was a sort of verification with the 12 disciples that they had walked and talked with Jesus, but when our Lord came to Saul, later Paul, you know, it was through this kind of like vision or like a supernatural sort of apparition that took place. So there was that piece of it. But then Paul had to struggle to continue to sort of like form communities in the faith. So one point that we've hammered throughout this series on leadership is that leaders aren't doormats. And you certainly see that with Paul. One of my favorite passages, like one great thing about Paul is like he'll be writing and you can tell like how passionate and personally involved he is in what he's writing. And one example is when, You know what? I should have looked it up before the show. I think it's 2 Corinthians, but he tells them, like, he opens up the letter by saying, like, here's what I'm calling you to.
Right.
According to the gospel. And he says, I want to see you as sort of like my dutiful children to accept this willingly, you know, like to in full freedom or whatever. But if not, you know, I'll come to you as a father. And I don't know the Greek, but he says, like, with a stick. And so he's sort of like, I want you to accept my apostolic authority. If not, you know, like, when I arrive, we'll have a conversation about this. And, you know, that's kind of funny to joke about, but it's great to see this leader who knows the truth is at stake, who knows sort of what's best for this community. He lays it out for them, like, in a reasonable argument, but then says, you know, like, if I need to use my authority, like, this would be an instance where that was apropos.
And, I mean, he's willing to disagree profoundly with friends. I mean, like, one of the first sort of episodes we get of this is he and Barnabas, of course, who started out their journey part ways at one point over disagreements. Very famously, he confronts Peter, the first pope, to his face regarding difficulties of understanding and disagreement regarding the Gentiles. He's willing to do these things. And then, of course, like standing up to the principalities and powers, you know, of the Sanhedrin and then the Roman officials. None of this was a cakewalk. And none of it was just simply, oh, as long as he was back with his buddies, everything's fine. He had a lot of, you know, strife, like you said, that he had to work within the community and know when to, as you say, appeal to authority for the sake of the good, but not lord it over people, and indeed allow, be willing to take his bumps and bruises. And I think that that's, you know, important. We, you know, last time, Bud, we talked about, well, I did, I guess, that Paul in some ways is sort of like the church's Odysseus, right? The guy who goes out on all these travels. But Odysseus's literal name in Greek means the man of suffering or the man of sorrows. And Paul in some ways is that also for the church. So when Paul has the great, he's Saul at this point, and he's blinded. You know, Jesus sends another apostle, and they're like, you're going to go find Paul, you're going to touch him on the shoulder, and his eyes will clear up, and then you're going to teach him to be a Christian. And they're like, I don't know, Lord, that seems like a bad move. But the Lord says, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. Okay, makes enough sense. But then he goes, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. And so Paul develops an intricate idea about leading through suffering and weakness, Bud. Yep. And I think that is the sort of beacon about what we mean. Yes, you're not going to be a doormat. No, you're going to go to the ends of the earth. You're going to make people bow before the name of the Lord. You're going to speak to people no one thought you would have the authority to do so. But your strength is going to be through weakness. And that doesn't mean, again, being passive and having never standing up for yourself. It's sort of living in to those difficulties.
Well, to quote another Bible passage, this one is from 2 Corinthians 12, and it expresses precisely what you're getting at, Bo. But imagine if one of our living leaders today talked in this way, like how refreshing in some ways this would be. I will, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. So Paul is making the arguments that he has some grounds for boasting because of his background, but I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do, I say, or say because of these surprisingly great revelations that he's been given in Christ. And this is the key here, I think, Bo. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, now Paul, again speaking in his own voice, says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am truly strong. We, you know, when we've taught together, we've talked to undergraduates about this, and it's kind of a tough sales pitch. Like, we've been sort of formed in our lives, I think especially in our culture, to value strength and to value even coercion. Like, how are we going to bring about what's right unless we sort of impose it on the world? And Paul sees this mystery, this profound mystery to the way that God works, where God expresses his power through weakness, preeminently in the incarnation. But in Paul's life, it was even manifested in something like this thorn in his flesh. And we don't know what that was. You know, some scholars speculate that it may have been like an eye problem that Paul had. But he asked God, he pleaded with God to three times to have it removed. And God chose not to remove that thorn because he wanted to make his power known through weakness. And we could talk about all sorts of examples of this throughout history. But you think about, like in this case, we go back to St. Paul and St. Peter. When the Roman authorities, when they executed those two figures, they probably thought, you know, like, well, that's done away with. That problem's gone. Today, think about what stands over the graves of St. Peter and Paul, right? The truth won out. And so that this is why we laud the saints, you know, not because they were like naturally born just like these spectacular beings, but because God's grace became so evident in their lives that God's power was made perfect through their weakness. And even the world, when it thinks like, well, I'm gonna kill this self-sacrificial leader to get rid of his cause or whatever, that's where when we talk about the blood of the martyrs being the seed of the church, the truth actually in the wake of that martyrdom flourishes in ways that, you know, those who killed them can't even imagine.
And I think that when we hear that, you know, my strength is in my weakness, there's, of course, a sort of silly way that it would be vicious, like oh, so therefore I'm never going to try to improve, or, you know, like, I'm going to lead through not doing my work.
Talk about my weaknesses a lot in front of other people.
Right, make people uncomfortable. But it's actually something much more profound and very, I mean, practically helpful if you can get to this point. You know, there's one way, of course, I don't know about you, but, I mean, we've had leaders in common, and we've been at other places where we've seen other styles of leadership. A lot of times it is the strengths of leaders that get them in trouble.
Yeah.
Either literally in trouble or like run them into issues because they go, well, I'm strong in this way, so like I've nothing to worry about. And they over rely, so to speak, on their power. Now, it's certainly the case that I think it's silly to make people, like if you're in a job, to just fit them into the box. Oh, this is the job description, so you must do blank, right? I always joke around that if you want me to, like, organize things, you should just fire me. It's a bad use of your time. But to say that our weaknesses is a source of strength is to say, when I dwell on what I don't do very well, and that allows me to connect with people who are going through it as well, or struggles that I've had to go through and overcome, you know, scars that remind me of what I had to do to be where I'm at so that I can therefore reach out to other people and I can both comfort them but also push them in the right way, which is to say, I'm not acting like I'm better than you and forcing you to do something. I've been through this too. And through the lumps that I've taken, I want to help you take this better and make it profitable. Well, there's more to say to that, Bud, and we can do that when we close out with the last segment. This is The Uncommon Good. Bo Bonner, Dr. Bud Maher. Stick around, and we'll be back right after this.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio comes from Golden Rule, always seeking to serve customers better and to create job opportunities within the community. So with the new electrical division, Golden Rule now services all home maintenance concerns. Learn more at goldenrulephc.com.
Thank you to our business partner, Big Red Q Quick Print. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. BigRedQ-Des Moines.com. BigRedQ-Des Moines.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by CTO. What great news for donors to the Catholic Tuition Organization. You now receive 75% of your donation back in Iowa tax credits. Your support has helped thousands of students attend our Catholic schools. Best gift ever. Online, ctoiowa.org. At CTO, the bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
Thank you, Caldwell Parish, for underwriting Iowa Catholic Radio. Conform to the wishes of the deceased and to Catholic liturgical burial traditions. Caldwell Parish Funeral Home, Des Moines' only Catholic-owned and operated funeral home. CaldwellParish.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Confluence Brewing Company, brewed locally since 2012 and featuring regular, seasonal, and limited-release beers. Confluence Brewing Company, 1235 Thomas Beck Road off the bike trail south of Grays Lake. ConfluenceBrewing.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Permar Security, a Catholic-owned family business providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. PermarSecurity.com, 515-244-5660.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Mary's Cleaning Care. Mary's Cleaning Care cleans everything from residential to commercial in Des Moines and surrounding areas. Mary'sCleaningCare.com. Thank you, Mary's Cleaning Care, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Skeffington's Formal Wear, in business since 1951, with locations in Des Moines, West Des Moines, Coralville, and Ankeny. Skeffington's Formal Wear, fitting you for life celebrations. Online at Skeffingtons.com.
We're back with the Uncommon Good. Bo Bonner, Dr. Bud Maher joining you this Wednesday. Thank you for listening to the show. Bud, to jump right back into it, so we're talking about St. Paul. This is part two, considering him as a sacrificial leader. And we're talking about the profound insight that Christ's strength is shown through weakness. And so we were talking about this, that, of course, it's not something silly like, so just never do your work or something like this. But as a leader, sort of leading with, not like, oh, always complaining about how you're not good enough for something, but to say it was, in fact, difficulties, either in yourself or like that you've struggled with others, that give you the sort of apostolic authority, as it were, to lead other people. I think that that's a very hard point to hear and trust. But when it's seen on the ground, that is a way forward, even for organizations or groups that have a lot of distrust, to be able to trust a leader by them leading with their wounds.
Yeah, I think this is a point that's worth reflecting on at length. Like, I'm kind of encouraging those who are listening, if you've got like time and space to carve out, to think about this idea of power being made perfect through weakness. And you know, like a key point of that reflection can be the incarnation, but there's all sorts of examples from everyday life too. And I, you know, the way that I think about this is it's built into the very DNA of creation. Like God's power was most evident not through sort of like a genie from the cartoon Aladdin, where he sort of like, you know, did some grand display, but by becoming a child, you know, wrapped in swaddling clothing and then willingly going to the cross. When we were doing the last segment of the show, my thoughts actually went to mothers, you know, and in our day and age where like everything is so utilitarian and so profit driven, I don't think we value motherhood in many ways like we should. You think about the kind of persons who have had the most influence on history, you know, all the sacrifices that a mother makes, you know, through nursing and different things like that, the sleepless nights, whatever it happens to be. Those things aren't glamorous or glorified, but that's how God chooses to pass on the truth and to have this ripple effect throughout time. So, I mean, you know, they're really, and the calling in both cases is for us to look either to the Blessed Virgin Mary and to say, like, how can I imitate her fiat? Or, you know, for St. Paul, he says at one point that he bears the marks of Christ in his body. So I go back to that idea of being, like, transubstantiated into Christ. That will take on a unique shape and form in every person's life, but that's the kind of person, the kind of leader that we're all called to be.
Absolutely. Leadership is a sort of stigmata. Like, are we going to wear the wounds of Christ? Yes, but also ourselves to demonstrate this. But I think you're right. Motherhood is a sort of willingness to become weak for the sake of another. Like, you know, being pregnant for 9 months is a willingness to sort of run multiple marathons every day, as it were, to grow this body inside of you, and then to take care of it, all that, and then just emotional, right? Like Mary and the sword through her heart is an example of what it means of there being strength and weakness. And then even one more time with Paul before we end here, you know, it was Paul's violence, right, that made him such an enemy of the church, and it was his then willingness to suffer violence, right, to invert that, that made him the leader that he was. And it's the same way that the zeal that sent him far afield and away from the will of God can now be sort of, as long as it dies and is reborn, it can now be the very strength that used to be the thing that brought him far away. And I think that's what we mean when we say we lead with weakness that shows the perfection of power. This is the Uncommon Good. May Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, reign in our hearts, our families, city, state, nation, world, solar system, galaxy, the whole kit and caboodle. This is the Uncommon Good, and we'll be back next week. But if people are wanting to make sure to show power through their weakness, through sharing in the prayer life of Iowa Catholic Radio, what are ways they can do so?
Before I get to the prayer times, like, one thing that's difficult about being on the radio is, like, your words go out, and then they're there, out. And, like, right when I was talking about St. Paul's Cathedral in Minnesota, I was like, is it in Minneapolis or in St. Paul? It's in St. Paul, Minnesota, which makes sense.
Yes, yes.
But in case there's any Minnesota listeners tuning in this week.
That's right.
I stand corrected.
They've just been combing the streets of Minneapolis, very confused.
That's right. But do join us in our prayer life. We pray the rosary on air at 6 a.m. and 10 a.m., the Divine Mercy Chaplet in the afternoon at 2:55, and you can access the rosary anytime, anywhere using the Iowa Catholic Radio app.
Speaking of the Iowa Catholic Radio app, that's also a way to make sure to be involved in the life of and times of Iowa Catholic Radio here in the Diocese of Des Moines. Download that Iowa Catholic Radio app. You can listen live, join the prayer life, like we said, but that's a way to check in to see what we're up to. Also, donate if you are so moved. You can go to iowacatholicradio.com. Again, listen live, check out everything that you need to check out, but that also includes the events calendar to know what we're going, that's coming up. And especially at this time, Bud, when we're into summer, you might want to check up the music and comedy events that we have leading up to and during the fair. And like I said, that's all there at iowacatholicradio.com. And then finally, if you want to make sure to be a part of our social media, you can go to Twitter and follow us at IA Catholic Radio to see our tweets. Friend us at Facebook to catch on what's going there as well. But if you want to make sure to talk to someone, you can do that 515-223-1150. You can also donate there as well. Please remember in your donations of your time, your prayer, but also of your treasure, that the material goods that you share with us allow this ministry to continue. That we thank you so much for doing that, and we hope that you consider deeply in your hearts continuing this ministry, which, of course, is more than just the people on air, behind the boards, or in the office. It's you. It's your ministry as well, and your donations help that possible. Bud, stay as cool as possible out there, but make sure to enjoy your summer.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Bo.
This is The Uncommon Good. We will be back next week.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher is heard every week on wonderful Catholic stations like this one and anytime on podcast. Just search for The Uncommon Good.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and The Uncommon Good provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences. Learn more at mchs.edu.